Hi, I'm Lauren Edmonds. I'm the founder and owner of a school that supports children with learning delays. I'm hoping the space gives you something to think about.
I'm talking today about discipline that transfers from school to home and how do you handle that when it comes to your kids. So as always, this is just a particular point of view, and I could possibly argue three other ways to do it as well. So I want you to listen to this one in relation to who you are, who your child is, what your relationship is like, your own belief system, rather than just taking this as rote advice. But when we talk about discipline at home, I believe it should be a learning experience. So at school, my school, at Amatus, we have two rules. Besides little rules like, you know, you can't go past the gate, things, safety rules, there's two basic big rules. And these rules are actually more for the teachers than they are for the children. The first one is respect, and the second one is choice and consequence. And I'll talk to respect briefly, and then I want to move into the second one, because that's where the discipline punishment type of realm, that's where that comes in. But it's got to start with the first one. And my ask of all of my teachers and adults in that space is, you show and demonstrate respect first before you ask for it back. Do you respect who the child is, the mood that they're in, the attitude that they've got? Do you respect their learning? Do you respect their time? Do you respect their lives? Do you respect the processes? And if you can show and respect yourself, if you can demonstrate respect for the whole process in actions that you take, in the words that you use, in how you think about things, only then can you turn to the child and say, can you also respect? And you're always looking for the child to respect themselves and their own learning, to respect their own equipment, their desk, their stationery, their books, and then to respect their environment, and then to respect their friends, and then to respect the teacher. But you can't ask for respect from the child until you show respect for them. So you can't say to a kid who needs the bathroom, nope, sorry, it was just break, you can't go, because that's showing quite a lot of disrespect to a child's basic human need to go to the bathroom. But you're also asking for respect back in the sense that, thank you so much for asking me. Yeah, I'm sure you can go quickly. Why don't you come back straight away? And then you can ask for respect for the classroom and learning when they come back in. But you can't ask for that respect unless you're prepared to do it. So if you want children to knock before they come into a classroom, then you need to knock before you come into a classroom. If you want children to say please and thank you, you need to say please and thank you. If you want children to be kind, you need to be kind. So that's the first sort of ground rule, I think, of good relationships and how we get children to progress. And then the second one, choice and consequence. So at my school, and I love using this example, let's say they're playing with a soccer ball outside and they break a window. They've broken a window. Shouting is not the way to go here, because shouting just shames a child and actually turns the broken window into my problem. But it's not. They broke the window. But if we turn it into you did it, then it becomes more shame. And they weren't trying to break the window. And even if they were trying to break the window, there's going to be other reasons for it. So the consequence is, right, let's check it out. Is everybody safe? Have you got shoes on? Have we kind of cordoned off the area? Okay, now with you, the person that broke the window, come with me. I'm going to show you how to clean this up. Here, let me show you with the brush. Now you take over and you do the rest of the glass. How do you keep yourself safe? Where are we putting the glass now? Okay, let's put it in this plastic bag. Is there glass still in the frame? Let's look at the safety of everybody else. How do we keep everybody else safe? And all of that is learning, and they get to do that with you. And after that, you collect it all up in a bag, and I hand it over to the kid, and I say, right, you and your dad or your mom can come and fix the window on Saturday. Now, what that's about is, I didn't break the window, you did. I'm not shaming or punishing you for it. I'm just asking you to replace what you broke. And I love handing it over to the parent, because if I get the children to replace the glass in the school day with me, then I'm isolating the parent from the learning opportunity. And what I really want the parent to do, and what I normally talk to the parent about, is your son didn't mean to do this. They were having a great game of soccer. It came off the side of his boot. He broke the window. I'm not angry with this, but it needs to be resolved. So I've shown him how to do the cleaning up. And now I want you to show him how to fix it. Now, what happens is, hopefully, the parent goes with the child on the Saturday, they measure it out, they go to a glass place, they have the glass cut, how to carry it carefully so they don't cut themselves, why it's wrapped in newspaper, they get it there, what is putty, how does that work? And, you know, if a parent doesn't know how to do this, they can always get a handyman to do it for them, but the child must be involved in it because they must repair what they broke. Now, that is really, really key to all of this, because so much research is coming out now to say and confirming that the mistakes are not what hurt us. It's when the mistakes aren't repaired. And that's, from an adult perspective, that's often what's happened in our own childhoods. The mistakes that happened weren't repaired, and we're still carrying those traumas. So we don't want that for our child. But also, from an academic point of view, if you make a mistake with spelling, so you just rub it out and do it again, or cross it out and do it again. And that's the repair. If I'm mean to you, being mean is terrible. But if I don't say sorry, that's where the trauma happens. I've got to repair. I've got to say, I'm so sorry that I was mean to you. Same thing with the glass. You broke the window. And that's okay. Just fix it. Because when it's fixed, it's not a problem anymore. But if we leave it unfixed and we don't hold the child accountable for fixing it, we're teaching them that they can do whatever they want and other people will take the consequence. But we don't want that. We want children who are responsible. We want children to understand the consequence of their actions. So we reduce impulse control issues, which is so prevalent today, especially with the ADHD diagnosis. Children are impulsive. How do we get them to be not impulsive? Not by shouting at them, but by helping them to work through the consequences of their actions. And when we help them to work through the consequences of their actions, they learn in their nervous system to delay being triggered in the future. That's where healing happens, between the trigger and the response. And if we can make some space for healing in that, and we can make some space between triggered and responding, then we gain control. Children gain control. And they are no longer responsive to their immediate need. They can breathe and slow down, and they can think about their response. But it actually starts in every little component. They break the window, no problem. Here we go. This is how you're going to fix it. You got the sum wrong, no problem. Rub it out, do it again, not a problem. You read the word wrong? Oh, interesting. Can I show you how to read it right? Let's read it right now. Can you see how all of it's about repair and learning? It's not about being perfect, and it's not about being punished. It's about the natural consequence of your actions. And if we don't drive the consequence, they continue to take the same action, and we wonder why they don't change. I'm going to tell a beautiful story of a little boy who broke a ruler in my class, and the natural consequence was, oh dear, now we can't. It was a 1 meter ruler, plastic 1 meter ruler. Now we can't measure 1 meter. Okay, no problem. Can you take these two pieces home and you can replace it? Okay, fine. There's no punishment for this. You're not getting shouted at. Just replace it. So I phone the mom and I say, okay, so give him some chores to do at home that he can earn some money. Figure out how much the ruler costs. Maybe you take him to P&A, which is where I bought it. This is how much it costs. Let's say it's 150 Rand. Okay, you need to wash the car three times. You'll get 50 Rand a time. That'll be 150 Rand. Then we'll go to the shops. You'll take that 150 Rand out of your pocket that you earned, that you had to work for. You're going to buy the ruler, and you're going to take the ruler back into school, and you're going to hand it back and say, sorry, I broke your ruler. Here's a new one. And I'm going to say, oh, that's fantastic. Thank you so much for replacing the ruler. We can now measure 1 meter again, right? Unfortunately, that didn't happen. Then he broke something else. And I went to the mom. I said, okay, now he's broken something else. So now he needs to understand the consequence of his actions. So give him some chores, let him earn money. He can go to China Mall. It's really cheap. He can buy it. He can bring it to me. Still hasn't happened. Mom thinks she needs to replace the ruler and the globe. So she's irritated with her son that she now needs to put money down to replace this. So he's feeling what? He's feeling her irritation and her anger, but it's not changing his behavior. He continues to break things in the class. Now, what's the consequence of breaking things? I'm trying to drive that consequence, but it's just not happening. So he continues to break things. But if we can help children to be in the space of repairing what they have broken, they feel the weight of that, and it changes their behavior going forward. But if we rescue them from the consequence of their actions, it changes nothing in the child and just makes us more irritated. And then now suddenly they're a 15 or a 20-year-old breaking things. We need to catch it really early on. So responsibility is what choice and consequence is about. How do we teach children to be responsible? And we teach them by giving them a naturally occurring consequence to their actions. Not punishment, not shame, not something completely disconnected to the action. You just fix what you broke. Let's find a way to fix what you broke. And children very quickly learn the value of things. And not just the value of things, but the value of learning and the value of people. Otherwise, they just sort of fumble and fall through life. Yeah, being mean to friends and not learning and not getting things done. And then we wonder why. And actually, we know why. So I think this is a really important message, that punishment is not what we're going for. Discipline is what we're trying to develop. And we develop internal self-discipline by holding children accountable for their actions in a kind and loving way and teaching them how to repair mistakes, whether it's a broken window or a poor exam result or not doing their homework or being mean to a friend. How do you fix what was broken? Breaking things in the first place is something that we all do as human beings. We get stuff wrong all the time. Can we fix it? Can we repair? Can we take responsibility? And that's how we counter the ADHD diagnosis. That's how we counter anxiety, is we build in the child the strength and the ability to go through life proudly and with ownership and responsibility. It's a very powerful way to raise children.